tonight.
It's Ed.
Okay. Thanks. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Ed from San Diego.
Yeah.
Okay.
My name is Ed. I'm an alcoholic. Can you hear me okay? Well, I'm your pinch hitter 10-minute speaker tonight, you know, and I'm dressed for it, you know, flip-flops and a Hawaiian shirt. If you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, we would like to welcome you. And if you don't understand why, read the book until the second paragraph on page 89. And if you get that far and you can read that paragraph, you'll understand why. It says, frequent contact with newcomers and others will be the highlight of our lives. And I've come to believe that that's true for me. Do you want to switch?
Hi. Hi, I'm Maureen. I'm an alcoholic. And thank you, Damien, for asking me to come and share. I'm so embarrassed and so sorry that I'm late. I got I actually just moved from D.C. to L.A., and I'm not familiar with the traffic pattern, so I left myself a couple hours to get here. And I guess I just didn't leave myself enough time. I didn't anticipate so much traffic on a Saturday afternoon. So I do apologize. I've been taught better habits in Alcoholics Anonymous. Neither here nor there. Is there a timekeeper? Good. So you'll give me like a little heads up. Okay, good. Where do I start? I am sober, which is good. My sobriety day is August 15th of 2000. I have a home group. I have a sponsor. I'm actively sponsored. My sponsor knows where I am and what I'm doing and where I'm applying principles to my life and where I'm still struggling to apply principles in my life. I'm actively sponsored. I actively sponsor Women in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I love AA. And I don't deserve the life that I've been given today. And just for today, I do understand and realize that. I hate talking. I get really uncomfortable. I just don't think of myself as a talker. But I was taught from the beginning, nobody cares how I feel. that it's my job to suit up, show up, and do what I'm asked to do here. I did drink. I'm from a big Irish Catholic family. I grew up on the East Coast. I grew up right outside of New York. I knew there's a lot of alcoholism in my family, but never really was affected by alcohol or alcoholism growing up. I started drinking when I was relatively young. I was just going into high school, or maybe not relatively young in like a young people's, or a place where there are a lot of young people in sobriety. But it was young for me. And what happened for me was from the first night I drank to the last morning I drank, alcohol did something for me that I fell in love with. I fell in love with the buzz. For years, people would look at my drinking and be like, why do you drink? Like, why can't you control it? Why can't you see what it's doing to you? And from where I stood, all I've ever been able to see is that it makes me feel good. And left to my own devices, I don't feel good. My normal state of being is that I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. I walk into rooms like this, and automatically I look at what I don't have. You know, I'm always comparing my insides with your outsides. I'm never measuring up. And what happened for me the first night I found alcohol was that all that kind of washed away. The alcohol hit my brain that night, and that spring in my gut that feels perpetually too tight, it released. And the weight of the world that for some reason I carry on my shoulders kind of slipped off my back. And the voices in my head that tell me that I'm just not quite enough fade into the background. Alcohol hit my brain that night, and I felt more alive and more free than I'd ever thought possible for someone like me. For years thereafter, my drinking got me into a lot of chaos. And people would see the chaos and be like, why do you drink? Why don't you stop? And I'm not stupid. Like, I understood that if I didn't drink, the chaos wouldn't ensue. But from where I stood, I'll take the moments of release. Like, I will deal with any of the consequences. I will adjust to anything for those few moments of relief. And our book talks about how a lot of women alcoholics are gone beyond recall within a few years, and that certainly was my experience. By the end of my drinking, to kind of speed everything up, by the end of my drinking, I was a shell of a human being, bouncing in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was probably 40-ish pounds lighter than I am today. My hair is falling out in clumps. I was vomiting blood on a regular basis. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I could not hold a coherent conversation. I drank like a rabid animal, you know, and it talks about I needed to drink in a way that I can't quite put into the words. But sharing that from the podium in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, like, I probably don't have to explain that any further. I ended up bouncing in and out and around the program of Alcoholics Anonymous for about 18 months, trying to do my loose interpretation of what I thought the program was, which basically meant I came to meetings and that was it. 5 minutes, got it. I came to meetings and that was all I did. But I came to a lot of meetings. And I just sucked the life out of anybody that would listen to my little sob story. And I ended up a binge drinker. I would come off a binge. My life would have crapped out one more time. I'd come back to AA. I'd be like, I really mean it this time. I'm going to get sober. I'm going to get my act together. I'm going to eat. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to, like, take a shower. I really mean it this time. It's going to be different. And all the power that I could muster of and by myself would keep me sober for a day or two or three. I think the longest I got was like 7 to 10 days. And then at some point, all the power that I had, all the human power that I could summon, would just kind of fizzle out. And I don't know how to explain that any further. It would just fizzle out. And I would think like a bunch of different thoughts. My head would go wherever I needed to go to convince myself that this time it's going to be different. That this time I can safely drink. That this time, if I don't go out with them, if I don't do the other stuff, if I don't go to the city, if I just drink whatever, it's going to be different. You know, the second step talks a lot, or talks about how we need to be restored to sanity. You know, and honestly, my experience initially, when I was first coming around and bouncing around the program, was like, all right, that's awesome. Like, I'll stop doing insane things. Like, yeah, I would like that. I know I'm crazy. I know a lot of the stuff that I do is crazy. Like, I would love to stop doing all that stuff. And the longer I've stayed here and the more I've worked with other alcoholics, the more I've been able to kind of see that my truth is that the sanity that I need to be restored to on a daily basis is the idea that this time it's not going to be different. My truth is that I am powerless over alcohol, and no human power will keep me from picking up that first drink. And when I picked up that first drink, no human power will keep me from taking that next drink and that next drink and that next drink. That's the sanity that I need to continue to be restored to. Because my life, my very life, kind of hinges upon me knowing that and taking subsequent actions. But I ended up kind of bouncing in and out. I'd come back to AA. I really mean this time, going to be different. And all the power that I had would keep me sober for a day or two or three. And then it would fizzle out. And I'd think to myself, it'll be different. You're 19 years old. What, are you going to stay sober for the rest of your life? What, are you going to hang out with those AA losers forever? Like, oh, that's fun. And I would convince myself that I could just have one, you know, and I would just have one, and then I would awaken the beast. You know, our book talks very specifically about how that phenomenon of craving is limited solely to the alcoholic class. And that line saved my life, because when I got sober in an area where there weren't a lot of people that looked like me or talked like me or had my story, and I would identify out. That line and a few other lines in the literature saved my life. Because there was no way that even I could convince myself that I don't get that off to the races feeling. Like, I remember being drunk and trying to explain to somebody, like, when I start drinking, I've awakened the beast. You know, and despite every intention of being good and not being chaos, the beast is awoken, like, all right, it's on. And so I would drink again. I would trigger the phenomenon of craving and off on another binge. I'd come back to AA, having crapped out my life one more time, thinking it's going to be different. I really mean it this time. I literally lived in that circle for about 18 months. And I ended up kind of hitting my bottom. And the bottom that I hit wasn't anything. I've hit worse physical bottoms. I've probably hit worse emotional bottoms. But I just reached a point where I like dragged my like pathetic self back into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I felt like just a gimp. And I just showed back up, and for the first time in my life, I shut up. I just shut up. And I hated being here. I hated the meetings. I hated the prayers. I hated the holding hands. I hated the gratitude. I hated celebration meetings. I hated the coffee. People used to smoke in the meetings back then. I hated that people were smoking in the meetings. I hated everything about being here. But there was nowhere else to go. So I just kept showing up with my bad attitude. And I sobered up in a... I ended up making a call and asking somebody for help, which is the one thing that I had never done, bouncing in and out of AA. I called somebody who I believed had been where I'd been and wasn't living the way that I was living anymore, and I asked them for help. And the people that I got sober with put their lives on hold to help me when I was a disgusting excuse for a human being. And they dragged me to a midnight meeting in New York, right outside, like kind of right by where I was living. And I know it's shocking. I was a little snotty when I got sober. 2 minutes. I was a little snotty when I got sober. I felt I had a lot of entitlement issues. And I remember sitting towards the back of the meeting, coming off of everything that I'd been doing. I felt like hell. I looked like hell. I probably smelled like hell. But I thought I'm pretty fabulous. And I remember about halfway through the meeting, there were two transvestite prostitutes sitting behind me, and they got in a fist fight in the middle of the meeting. And I remember thinking to myself, like, is this really what your life has become? And I kid you not, I started crying, I dropped my head, and I was just like, yeah, this is my life. This is the best that I could do. And that's kind of a funny story, but that was my reality. Like, that's the best that I can do of and by myself. I have needed a lot of help to get sober, and I continue to need a lot of help to stay sober. I'm not a girl that's like normal in all respects other than alcohol kind of girl. Like, I have alcoholism through and through. But people, I ended up getting a sponsor who wasn't shy about pointing out that the program of recovery is not come to meetings. It's a huge part of my recovery even today, almost 14 years sober. Huge part of it. I don't believe I would stay sober if I didn't come to a lot of meetings. But in order for me to tap into a power greater than myself that is bigger than my finite power that will keep me away from that first drink, I had to incorporate the principles of really the 12 steps into my life. And what ended up happening was that I was literally taken through the literature, word for word, line by line. Now, I consider myself a relatively intelligent person. Every so often, my sponsor would be like, what does that mean? I'd be like, I know what that word means. And be like, well, why don't we get out of dictionary and actually look stuff up? And I felt like, I hate you. Why are you so mean to me? Why can't you ever just be nice to me? But what ended up happening was that I was introduced to the literature in a way where I was introduced really to a literature-based foundation of recovery. You know, and word by word, line by line, page by page, we went through the literature. And when it said, get down on your knees and say the third step prayer, we got on our knees and we said the third step. When it said, get up, now we launch into a course of vigorous action. We launched into a course of vigorous action, and I started writing my fourth step. You know, I did my first fifth step, and I've done a whole bunch of fifth steps because it's not the brightest of bulbs when I first got here. My first fifth step, I probably saw 0.1% about the truth about my life, but it was enough to make a beginning. You know, I took my hour, I got on my knees, I said the seventh step, and then I put 6 and 7 on hold for like 8 years. Not consciously, obviously, but really kind of just glossed through it. I went back and I made amends, and I've tried to live by the principles of 10, 11, and 12 since really the beginning. And if there's anybody here who is on the journey and still feels like a really sick alcoholic and who really struggles with their selfishness, like, that was my story. Like, I was introduced to the steps pretty early in my recovery, you know, and my awakening has been really slow. It's been really very much of the educational variety. Like, there are some people that come here and just kind of catch fire, and they get it, and you can see that they have been transformed. You know, and my experience was that I've struggled with my selfishness for a really long time. Like, it took a while feel like even like the Knights of Promises, like people read the Knights of Promises and things like self-seeking will slip away. And for years, I would listen to that and be like, that doesn't sound like a good idea. Like, who's going to look out for me? And, you know, things you're not supposed to talk about in Alcoholics Anonymous. But bit by it, bit by bit, the more action and the more that I have given myself over to really the idea of the third step, the more my selfishness has begun to kind of dissipate. And when I stop taking action, it comes right back. It does. I lived my life, I'm going to wrap up because I actually don't even know how much time I have. I lived my life before I drank, while I was drinking, and in a bunch of my early sobriety in pursuit of being happy because I was so unhappy. And everything I did was about, like, let's make Maureen happy. Let's talk about why Maureen is not happy. Let's get Maureen happy. And I lived life in pursuit of feeling happy. And what ended up happening was that I was miserable because my world was only about me and my feelings. And when I hit a huge amount of emotional bottoms, drinking and really sober, I've been forced, the pain of alcoholism has brought me to my knees and has forced me really to try to live a life of service to God and to my fellows. Now, that's not what I wanted when I got here, but I can tell you that when I'm actually living a life of service, when I'm actually looking for ways that I can be of service to you, that I can help you get what you need, where I can take the focus off of Maureen and her feelings for just a few minutes, the byproduct of living by that principle is that I have joy in my life. And I found that joy trumps happiness any day of the week. I still really struggle with my selfishness. I still really struggle with a lot of my character defects, but I am a work in progress. It took me a long time to care about the girls that I sponsor, and today the girls that I sponsor have absolutely saved my life and have, like, plugged me into Alcoholics Anonymous in a way that I didn't want for many years. I just moved to L.A. Everything. How much time I got? Done? We're done? Oh. I just moved. I don't know exactly what that means. I just moved to L.A. from D.C., really for my dream job. But everything that I have put emotional security in over the past few years has been kind of wrenched away. And so I'm back at that place where it's like, all right, God, like, I don't know where we're going, but I trust that together, like, keep moving forward, keep trying to be of service, like, everything is going to be okay. And that's not something that I've really ever been able to say. So today I have a home group, I have a sponsor, I am sponsored, I sponsor women, although I don't, and I try to be of service. And that's what I know, and that has worked for me. And I thank you for your patience, and I thank you for, I apologize for running late. I do love Alcoholics Anonymous, and I try to treat it with a lot more respect than showing up late to the meeting. So thank you.